I am inside Mobile Podcast Command on an unusual, for me, daytime podcast. Again, this is getting to be a regular thing. Maybe being out in the desert has adjusted my schedule a little bit, especially in the winter months, because you got to get up early and all that, but you don't need to hear all that. So I'm going to grab some coffee here quickly, but in this podcast, I'm going to talk about changing focus a little bit and doing a lot of inventory and review of the last year, which is kind of a theme lately. Stopped down in the desert happily and having a great time, and I don't have to push, and I'm getting rest, and I'm boondocking and all of that. Also enjoying the nomad community, lots of sun, yoga every afternoon or so in the sunshine, eating, getting to know Quartzsite, Arizona, which is where I am, and really just loving it, loving the town and all that. And so it is time to talk about some changes and decisions and actions in podcast 1029, I'll Take the Artist's Way, the Bob Davis podcast. Well, I'm going to talk about a creative business and choosing the artist's path and deciding to run a creative business. And it certainly doesn't mean that I'm not going to continue to talk about my sponsors. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to continue to provide opportunities for sponsors to be part of that. But one of the ways that you can support creative businesses is with donations to their channels and so forth. And I'm certainly no different. Thanks, Bob Sweeten, for $25. If you want to donate to the Bob Davis podcast, just go to the bobdavispodcast.com. Look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command on the right side of the screen. Roll, you know, that column over there. Scroll down, and just under the picture, you're going to see a donation button. Click on it, big yellow donation button. That takes you to PayPal, and you can do the rest. If you want to give me a dollar, that's fine. If you want to give me $25, that's fine. If you want to give me $2,500, that would be awesome. So thank you, and thanks for liking and sharing on LinkedIn, which is getting me better results, and to a lesser extent, Facebook. I've given up on Twitter, as Jack Dorsey has, so I'm good to go on that. And again, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com, available at iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google Podcasts, and of course at iTunes, the granddaddy, as I mentioned at the start. Very quickly, I like to talk about my PepWave, which is administered by privacypost.io. This is the amazing communication device that allows me to get on, upload data, and do it smoothly and effectively and quickly using the PepWave, regardless of where I am. It has two SIM cards in it. It is administered by Privacy Post, so it's a VPN. So I am completely anonymous behind that PepWave, and I love it. If you want more info, go to privacypost.io. That's privacypost.io. People often ask, how can you have perfectly brewed coffee in the desert camping? And I pride myself on the coffee. So I got the Chemex, and I've got plenty of Starbucks, either French roast or espresso beans. You got to get the beans, and I got the grinder. And with the solar, I don't have to worry about it. I can grind up as much coffee as I want. And it's a perfect thing for a little coffee break podcast this afternoon. So let me give you some background on the situation. I've been doing a lot of review. So what does that mean? It means I take notes, I fill notebooks with notes as I travel. And a lot of times, I recommend people do it anyway. I kind of got out of journaling just because I was too busy back in the day. And now, just traveling, you don't always have the time to sit down and write. So at the end of the day, maybe you make a few notes. And then what that does is jog your memory of what was going on. And taking inventory and reviewing what you've done in the year is an excellent thing to do. I don't do it enough. Now, I think you probably do it too much. But once a year, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. It's kind of like doing taxes. I really enjoy doing my taxes because you really see where you're spending and how you're spending and how much you're spending, because you don't even think about it when you're doing it. So from a business perspective, this kind of thing is really valuable, especially if you have a creative business. So I'm going to give you some background on the situation. I've decided one of the actions after observation, orientation, and decisions, I've decided to focus almost entirely on the creative part of the business that I'm in. It is a creative business. We're content creators. I've been in creative businesses all my life. I wouldn't even call myself a businessman. I'm closer to an artist than a businessman, and I've been told by people who should know these things because they're important executives in the broadcast industry, Bob, you're an artist. You're not necessarily a businessman or a manager. Now, I can manage, but I have very high standards for people who work for me, and it's difficult for them. And I have high standards for myself as well. I think that's a good thing, but we don't. That's a whole different podcast. But I decided, one of the decisions I made and one of the things I acted on at two different times this year, and most recently the last time, and this is leaving my business networking groups. And I want to say, real important, I'm not directing these comments at business networking or the people in my best business networking groups. Most of these people would give you the shirt off their back. They have really good people and some of the best people I've met in my entire life. So I certainly don't have anything bad to say about the people that I network with and wouldn't if I had, and I wouldn't put it in a podcast. So this group, the first group, I left because they decided to get rid of the Zoom option, which I disagreed with. I think there's a big fight going on in this country with businesses trying to get people to come back to the office, and nobody wants to come back to the office. They want to work at home. And often they can be just as efficient, if not more efficient, at home. I think it depends on the person, the business, the situation. But I joined another business networking group, same umbrella group. This was an all Zoom group. So this is a completely virtual group, meaning it's online, right? And I went to three or four meetings. This one is just getting set up, and I decided to leave the second group. And I really never joined because I didn't pay dues or anything. I was just kind of getting ready to do that. And I decided there's no way I'm going to be able to give this group what it needs and what I need in order to get what I would hope to get out of the group. So it's not fair to continue. But the decision in general was I'm just shutting down this whole networking thing. And I'm going to give you some background again on that. So recently I was on my friend Michelle Ellis's podcast on IG, and she talks mostly about gratitude, going with the flow, and her little IG page, which is probably not going to be little very long, is called Transcends. We ended up, and it's TRASCENDS, and Michelle is has started this about a year ago, and it's really fun to do stuff with her because she's super high energy and wide open and super into gratitude. And I'm kind of a curmudgeon, so it was great to kind of come together because it was really, it wasn't like I would say oil and water. Well, oil and water do sort of mix. It's just two different ends of the bookcase. Let's just put it that way. So what we ended up talking about, and believe me, I practice gratitude. I just don't like to talk about it, and I don't have a formal quote-unquote gratitude practice. But we ended up talking about passion. Passion for life and passion for what a person does. We talked about passion for freedom, individual freedom, to be able to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it in your business or your life. And we ended up talking about society and peer pressure, if you will, and ending up talking about trusting your own inner consciousness and doing what you feel is right. I just read a news story this morning about how more and more people are quitting their jobs to become their own bosses because they are unfulfilled in situations where they're working for people. And so there's a lot of people trying to get their hustle, their side hustle going to the point where they don't have to work for anyone anymore. I know several people doing this. And the first thing that you do is you do what you feel is right. Right? So if it's a creative business, you're going to do what you feel is right to do. And people are going to tell you you should do things, and that's fine. But I ended up talking about how we really shouldn't, especially if we're in creative businesses, we really should not listen to the shoulds, because the shoulds are for the person saying you should. You know what you should do? And I've talked about this in other podcasts. And concurrent with the decision to stop networking, and I don't mean networking with nomads. I don't mean networking with people that understand creative businesses. I felt like I was talking to these people who are everyday Main Street business people, most of them. So payment processors, windshield guys, real estate, mortgage banking, cell phone services, things of that nature. And those are great businesses, but I felt like I was talking through a filter because, first of all, in my heart, I'm not sure I can even help them. Secondly, it's so hard to explain to people what podcasting is. And it's a unique thing because it's no one understands how we make money and nobody understands how it works. And I just felt like I was talking to people through some kind of a strainer. And it got to the point where I said, this just isn't working for me or them. And so I decided not only to stop networking with small business people on Main Street, mostly in Minnesota, to basically saying, I'm not going to chase business. I'm not going to run around trying to sell people advertising. And I've done that both on a cold call basis and also carrying my cards around. And first thing you do is start talking to them about your business and so forth. Now, I'm still in business. I'm just not going to chase business through what have become, in my view, hackneyed channels to the mindset of a creative person. Let me repeat that. What have become, whether it's LinkedIn, and I love LinkedIn, but I'm talking about the bromides that keep coming up on the feed about what you're supposed to think and how you're supposed to think and what you should do and how you should do. Business coaches, life coaches, and all that sort of thing. That's what I'm talking about in terms of hackneyed approaches and channels to the mindset of a creative person. And I'm going to get into that in the second half of this podcast, Podcast 1029, the Bob Davis Podcasts. These days, no matter what you're doing, working at home or whatever, you know you need to get up and move, right? Let me introduce you to BU. This is the company that gives you a powerful toolbox to help you be your best self. And you can use that toolbox right where you are all day long. You will be grounded, you'll be centered, you'll be calm, you'll be stronger, you'll be free, and you will be you. So you can get the toolbox for yourself or your whole team by visiting buenterprises.com for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. When you get there, if you choose a package, if you want a 20% discount, enter Bob, B-O-B. That is the Bob Davis Podcast discount code. Just because you're a creative does not mean that you're in the creative entertainment business, but you might be an engineer. And if you are, maybe you invented something and you want to see if you can find that that product manufactured in the United States. And if your company is considering American manufacturing, remember DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit them online at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar.com. Let me review motivational coaches, business coaches, motivational videos of people saying, you get up at 6:30 in the morning and you make all these calls and you do this because you want to make money and focusing on trying to make money and all these things. And networking with people who are deeply influenced by that kind of thinking, all to tell you what you should do. Now, how a creative person hears this is different from how a regular old entrepreneur hears this. Entrepreneurs, I'm gonna tell you what a real entrepreneur is, and I'm gonna tell you how to get more business advice and more learning about business than you will ever get from Napoleon Hill books and all of this other stuff. And the guy's name is Freeway Rick Ross. He was the biggest drug dealer in Los Angeles, maybe the whole country, at one point in the early 80s. And his lawyer said to him at one point, you're probably making more than Walmart is right now. Or at one point later in his defense, his lawyer was saying, you probably made more at any point in the late 70s, early 80s than Walmart was as it grew. So I was watching Vlad TV on YouTube, and he interviewed Freeway Ricky Ross. And this guy was a street guy. He, as in his own words, he said, "I never read a book." He was relatively uneducated. He dropped out of, junior high or something to that effect. And he had no education at all, but he had this incredible, and still has this incredible natural talent for business. And he's very smart. And the way he talks about business is just fascinating. And there's tons of messages for people who want to expand and scale businesses, tire businesses, apartment buildings, whatever it is that you do. Get this guy's books and listen to his interviews, and you'll know all you need to know about building a business because it's street sense, and that's what's great about it. And he figured stuff out on his own that you would never learn in a master's degree business program. And I thought about that, and I thought, this is interesting because business people don't care what kind of business they're in. They just like putting businesses together and growing businesses, and good for them. And if we didn't have them, well, things might not be the way they are in this country. But creative people operate on a completely different frequency. We don't do that. We live to create. We live to make something, take two things that don't go together and bring them together, or to create content, or to write a song, or to write a book, or to paint a picture, whatever it is that artists do. And there are artistic businesses. I brought up the CBGB stories, which I've often told about the owner of CBGB's in New York in the mid-70s in New York. There were two clubs you could go to. One was CBGB's, which was the rock club, the punk club, as it were. And the other one was Studio 54, which everyone knows. CBGB's was supposed to be a country music bar, and it morphed into a proto punk, new wave, modern music kind of place, because the house band was the Talking Heads. They lived across the street. And this guy had bought this book, Small is Beautiful, which is kind of a hippie tome against development. You don't have to have the biggest business on the street. And he, in many ways, was more artistic than he was a business guy. And CBGB's became this legend, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So creative people do not think of business in the same way that entrepreneur and business people, entrepreneurial business people who are just business people, think. We have to be passionate about what we do. So the usual business bromides, the way a creative hears them, is completely different than how somebody who's just an entrepreneurial salesperson hears them. And I am blowing it all off. And I don't mean blowing off the business. I mean, I want to treat my business much more like a creative business than as some kind of entrepreneurial business. Is it entrepreneurial? Yes. But if you're one of these people that has just quit your job and you want to go out and start a business because you don't want to have a boss and you're in the creative field, be very careful that you do not get sucked into, you have to think about business and you have to think like a businessman because now you're in business. And if you don't do that, you're going to fail. Well, so what? Then you just start another business that you don't fail at. And I feel ultimately that I will grow more and get more out of this business, the business that I own, if I follow and pursue my passion, which is creative stuff, all sorts of creative stuff and creative interests, the podcasts and other things, rather than trying to be the guy that sells advertising in a podcast. And, I've detailed some of the stuff that I want to do and that I have done in these podcasts, along with the travel. But the point that I want to make here is that creative businesses are not like Main Street businesses. They are scaled differently, and there is tremendous upside potential to a creative business. So when you talk about buying an apartment building, I'm not going to do the math, but when you think about how much apartment buildings cost and what the loan is and how much the loan costs and the trouble with getting people in apartments and making sure that they pay their rent and so on and so on, the thing about creative businesses, we can create properties. Now, all the properties that we might create may not be successful, but if one of them is successful, then it's going to be more successful than 100 apartment buildings. And yet the financial people tell you, well, you have to buy assets. Well, if you create an asset, because that's what you do as a creator, then, and it goes, or even it goes moderately, then you've got more than enough money, and more money than you would have made from an apartment building, in my personal opinion. So whether you're writing stories, fiction, nonfiction, writing history, you're doing podcasts, you're doing YouTube channels, IG channels, you have the potential to generate revenue for far beyond the immediate currency or relevance. Some of the podcasts that I did 5-10 years ago, people are still listening to. And I know because I see the feed, so I know what they're listening to. So for those of us who are different, one of the most frustrating things is people comparing our business to businesses like real estate or bait shops. But we know we have something different. If you're a photographer, if you're a writer, if you're an advertising creative person, those kinds of things, more of what you do, and this has certainly been true in my case, actually defies definition or classification. And as far as I'm concerned, the more of that, the better. And when you are sort of moving so fast that it's hard to define the target, then it's all the more better, because the pushback becomes extremely difficult. The other thing I want to say, you know, I spend a lot of time on YouTube, probably too much when I have a signal. I spend way too much time on social media, and the excuse is, well, I have to check my feed, and I do. But it always helps to read a book and to spend a month reading a big book that is not going to just be devoured in a couple of days, but sit in the sun and read anything. It doesn't really matter because it gets your creative juices flowing. But we are awash on all of these platforms and videos and these memes that increasingly I look at them, and honest to God, I see some of these memes. I'm actually into it. I actually should start collecting them, but I don't even want to pay homage to the idea of these stupid motivational memes that I look at them and I go, I have no idea what that means. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And it's like, who said that? Who wrote that? It's not even a good bromide, such as they are. And we are just inundated with this stuff. We are inundated with Zig Ziglar videos, and we are inundated with these motivational things about thinking, you know, the secret. And if you just think it, it'll happen, and all these other things. Probably the best thing that has been said is, you know, maintaining your vibration in the vibrational frequency of what it is that you want. Well, what does that mean? You know, I want to win the lottery. Well, I suppose you would have to meditate for days and months and weeks on winning the lottery. And I don't even know if it would ever happen. Is it worth it? So you have to think, okay, vibrationally, where am I at? Now, where I'm at is this. I don't have it. Wow, that is an awesome RV pulling out right there. Anyway, I'm in the vibration that I want to be in. I'm doing what I want to do, what I've wanted to do for years, because I made the decision to do it. I just said, I'm going to do this. So vibrationally, I'm where I need to be. But that's probably the best thing that I've heard. And I'm just thinking about this off the top of my head. A lot of this stuff is just trash. It's just nonsense. And it gets people unduly fired up, and I think this is when they start to make mistakes, because they're visualizing this massive business, and this is what's going to happen, and here's how it's going to happen because I say so. And sometimes it doesn't work that way, and sometimes you fail, and sometimes, you know, this is what I'm saying. And so I have to say that this is why, aside from the business bromides, one of the things that happened in radio is, at some point in radio, and when I started in radio, the program director and the programming staff of the station said what went. We were the people that said, this is what we're going to do. And we decided what was done. Now it's the sales department, and salespeople have no concept of creativity. I'm sure there are creative salespeople, but And I'm not putting down salespeople, but in my business, the sales department, it was like letting the inmates run the jail. I mean, they just were ridiculous. Let's give away pantyhose. You know, let's give away onion sandwiches. And I used to go, let's give away a bag of trinkets. And they'd go, what do you mean? I go, we're going to do a brown paper bag and put a bunch of trinkets in and give it away. And they'd go, that's a good idea. So what had happened was we reached the point where we were told at iHeart in some big, they used to have these ridiculous meetings. You know, you get up at 4:30 or 3:30 in the morning, work 14-hour days to write a morning show for a talk radio station. And, you know, you get off the air at 9 o'clock, all you want to do is sit in the lobby and sleep, you know, and they have these huge meetings with all hands on deck. And then they'd get up and they'd say, you know, you people on the air, you're salespeople too. And you have to function as a salesperson too. And it was like, no, that's not the way this business is supposed to work, but that is the way the business works. So I decided in 2009, I'm going to do this my way. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm not reading anything. I'm not reading any books about entrepreneurialism. I'm not reading the color, whatever it is, the three purple things you have to think about, or whatever these ridiculous books are. I'm not reading any of them because I want it to be organic. I want to find these answers myself. And then after 2013, I really started podcasting in earnest and running it as a business in earnest. And I'm throwing the traditional and the acceptable and the best practices and the standard way of doing things right out the window. You know, I'm sure lots of people gave Lady Gaga advice, but she went ahead and did what she wanted to do as well. Same with the Beatles. John Lennon and Paul McCartney went ahead and did what they wanted to do. They didn't take advice from people. I suppose they listened to their manager, but he was part of Brian, whatever his name was, Brian Epstein, I think. I don't know. He was the guy who created the first sort of look of the Beatles, but really it wasn't him. It was Klaus Voormann's wife, the bass player, the studio bass guy, that cut their hair and gave them this edgy look with the suits. To sum up, this is not a rant. First of all, it's not even a rant, and it certainly isn't some kind of a judgment of people who have employed networking or employed any of these means to build businesses. If they have a business degree, if they enjoy building businesses, regardless of what the business does, these are people who are necessary. And I'm not judging them negatively. I am talking about people who own creative businesses. And if you're listening and you're a business guy, you know, record companies, movie companies, the bean counters could never understand how record companies would just spend so much money, especially back in the golden era, you know, the late 60s and early 70s, when they would spend a fortune on signing artists that would never get a hit. But if you got one hit, one Aretha Franklin could pay for the entire company for years. And you might have to go through 20 people to get Aretha Franklin. Or Joni Mitchell, or Janis Joplin, or Bob Dylan. And you had to have people who had the creative sense to be able to see those people coming and understand who they were. And that continued all the way up. Same in the movies. Many movies are made, and they are expensive. Sometimes they're really expensive, and they're failures. And sometimes a movie that's made for $60 million becomes highly successful. You get two or three very successful movies, and it pays for all the other movies. And the same is true also in the television production business. There were, in 2019, I think there were something close to 600-700 scripted series television shows. Now, I know you and I watched a lot of TV during that period of time. I didn't watch 600 scripted shows. I couldn't. So what happened to them? Well, they're still out there somewhere. They're either on YouTube or Netflix or somewhere, and I suppose somebody's watching them, but it takes a lot of work to get to a Sopranos. It takes a lot of work to get to a Yellowstone. It takes a lot of work to get to a Succession or The Wire or some show that really hits and has huge social influence. That's creativity. There is no formula to create that. And the same is true in radio. You don't get Howard Sterns and Rush Limbaughs and, Dr. Don Roses and John Landeckers and Larry Lujacks and people like that. And these go back so far, most people don't know who I'm talking about, unless you go through a lot of other people who aren't potentially as great. And they find other things to do in the business, and on it goes. So success in the creative business is very much Russian roulette. You just never know. And however, you can be successful with a creative business. You can, use it to pay for what you need to do, and it eases it oils the springs and sprockets every now and then to be able to say, oh, I got this much money, so I'm going to go over here and do this and do this as a project. We just don't think the same way. But if something goes viral, some girl, and she is a girl, she's 18, Maddie, I forget her last name. She's one of these IG, for lack of a better term, pinups. She was talking, very smart girl. She was talking about her success. This guy was interviewing her, and he was trying to find out what guys she liked and the usual nonsense, vapidity. And she was like, I don't want to even talk about that. And he asked her, well, tell us your story and how you got famous. And she said, I don't know. I had a Whataburger and I had my tits hanging out. Literally, that's what she said. And I had a Whataburger and I put it on YouTube, and it was 8 seconds. 8 seconds of that video went viral, and it literally changed my life. Like, immensely changed my life. For good and bad. That's creativity. Now, maybe you're guffawing and saying, oh, well, anybody, if you're 18 and you've got the goods, you can hang it out and show everybody and maybe you can get somewhere. But no, it doesn't work that way. Somehow she had the right look at the right time, all those things, and it just hit. So luck is a big thing, but any creative content creator can have a huge result, and often without even intending it. And that's the kind of business it is. And you accept that. I'm going to be poor until I'm not poor, or I'm going to get along until I'm not poor. But what you can't do is pretend you're a businessman and pretend that you're in spot sales and pretend that you can wear both hats. I'm a sales guy and I'm a creator. You got to go all in on one or the other. Or I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a creator. I can't do that. So that's the point of basically choosing the artist's way and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And I've sort of butchered the book. The Artist's Way is really about getting your creative processes to the front, because a lot of it's deep-seated psychological stuff, deep in the subconscious even. I'm saying The Artist's Way as a path. Have you seen the 36 Lynn IG feed? Because it's really good. And again, thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in South Minneapolis. So yeah, they have a great IG feed, and they're super into the community. They help the community a great deal. They also feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. And they also have great coffee, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the whole deal. The store is the special sauce when it comes to 36 and Lynn. So remember them. Next time you swing through Minneapolis, you need a gas up or a cup of coffee or whatever. Maybe some honey or maybe a burrito, which is what I always like. For more info and great 36 Lynn events, check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So yeah, this is a time for observing, orienting, making decisions, but especially for acting on those decisions to really kind of meet the new day with the decks cleared and everything ready to go. And I mean the new year, but really it's the new day, especially with all the crazy things going on with eclipses and everything else. And I do appreciate all my clients and will continue to serve them and future clients as well. But I just want people to know that I'm not buying into all the LinkedIn, what do you call that? hoopla, because that's really what it is about business motivation and coaching and all this stuff. I think like Ricky Ross, we kind of know internally what to do, especially when it comes to creative businesses, and you just have to try it. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen start something like a YouTube channel or blogging, and they don't know what they're doing. You come back 2.5 years later, and they're putting up a really professional, great product. It's something to think about. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1029. Excuse me while I go choose the artist's way.